Before we start the episode, we just want to let you guys know that because of a couple of technical difficulties, Jen's audio may not be the best of the best. So we do warn you that if it's cutting out or if it's skipping, I promise you it's not your iPod or your stereo or whatever you're using to listen to this podcast. It's actually just the audio itself. We do apologize for it, and we hope that you are able to continue listening to the entire episode so you can give us your feedback at the very end. Thanks for listening, and welcome to Book Hype.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Book Hype. I'm Jen, and I'm here with Kyle and Karen this morning. Hey, everyone.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
And, of course, we're here today to talk about books. Today's episode is going to be focusing on a book bite topic that's really cool that Kyle came up with, and I think most of you will have lots to say about it. Some book news, and then we're going to talk about some new book deals that have just come up over the last couple of weeks that sound really intriguing. And, of course, this won't be out for a while, but there's something to talk about and see where the future of books is headed. Or, yeah, that's right. Let's first talk about what we've been reading. I haven't been here in 3 weeks, and I apologize for that. I was traveling, and then I got really sick and didn't actually have a voice, so I would have been really entertaining on here with my little squeaks and scratchy throat. It would not have been fun, I promise you. So thank you guys for filling in and doing everything without me. You guys were awesome. But let's get started. So what have you guys been reading and talking about the last 3 weeks? I have missed everything.
We've done a lot, I think, actually.
Yeah, I can't even remember.
All I know is that, like, we did Cuckoo's Calling, and I missed out on that because I didn't finish it the night before we were supposed to record it. And I was just like, I can't stay up because I was falling asleep. And then
Kyle did not stay up to 2 a.m. like I did to finish
I stay up until, like, 1:30, but I just couldn't finish it.
All right, then, so what have you guys been reading?
I have been reading, I just started The Maze Runner, in addition to The Cuckoo's Nest and Ender's Game still. So, I'm really excited about The Maze Runner. I need to read it because Dylan O'Brien is now the official character in my head, and I need,
yes.
And it's beautiful, so.
Good choices. I'm kind of in between books right now. I think the last one I finished, yeah, was The Cuckoo's Calling, and I need to read Fire with Fire now, but I just haven't had the chance yet, but I need to get going on that because I still have to write my review.
Okay. I've been reading, and you know, when you're sick, you kind of have lots of downtime to just lie in bed and feel gross, but also read. So I read The Dream Thieves by Maggie Stiefvater. It's the second book in the Raven Boys series, and I love The Raven Boys. It was one of her better books. I really enjoyed the content and, you know, where she was going with it. It was really unique and different. And this, the Dream Thieves follows that. It continues the story of Blue and her Raven Boys, and it's super fun, and it's a little creepy here and there, and I really enjoy it. I also finished Untold by Sarah Rhys Brennan, and I love Sarah Rhys Brennan's work. Untold wasn't as good for me as Unspoken was. I'm kind of 50-50 on it. Like, certain parts were a little bit, like, rougher to get through than others, but her wit and the sarcasm and all of that's still there, so it's still enjoyable. It just wasn't a can't-put-down book. Like, I could put it down and walk away from it and come back to it. And then, what else? Oh, I read an adult novel called Alex, and it is truly this creeptastic, kind of a little like a girl with a dragon tattoo kind of book. It's about this girl, and when you start the book, it's literally this girl who's trapped in a cage in a room, and you don't know why at first. And you're, of course, you feel really, really bad for her and all of this other stuff. But then it comes up and you start to learn about this girl's life and you're kind of like, oh, maybe you belong in the cage. Like it's this really great story that kind of goes back and forth and you can't decide what you want this girl's fate to be or if it's really appropriate or fair for the situation that she's in. And it's really conflicting. Like there are times you're like, well, hey. So I thought it was a really cool book. And if you like things like Girl with the Dragon Tattoo or those kind of dark mysteries, it's definitely along those lines, and it was really a really fun read.
That sounds really fun, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very cool. It is a little graphic. So like I said, it is an adult book. Just be aware going into it that it can very much be like The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. So yeah, but those are the things that I've been reading over the last couple of weeks, which are super exciting. And yeah, so that's about it for that. So now that we've all talked about what we're reading, we're going to get on to today's Book Bites. And today's Book Bites, I think, is a really interesting, fun topic. It comes up a lot, but there's a really a good, solid like answer, conclusion to it, and it's book covers. And book covers are one of those things that I guess kind of objective, because there are people, you know, the old saying is don't judge a book by its cover. Now, let's be honest, I think everyone judges a book by its cover. I think that's the reason most people will pick up a book, if it's a cover that intrigues you or you're curious about what's on the cover to know what's inside the pages, you're going to pick it up. And recently, like within the last 6 months or so, there's tons of controversy covers. And there's this whole concept that boys won't pick up a cover with a girl in a dress on the front. And, you know, it's possible. I don't know if a teenage boy is so self-aware that he's cool with picking up, a book with a girl in a dress on the cover, which seemed to be for quite a while the epidemic of book covers. There was always these girls with big weird dresses on the front, and while they were beautiful, it didn't necessarily represent what was actually inside the book. And so, you know, what do you guys think about book covers and how they represent the content of the book? Like, do you think that they do an honest job? Can you think of one that is truly representative of what's contained within the book, or are they just kind of these eye-catching things to get people to pick up the book?
I think it's a really difficult thing to do because you basically have one image to represent, you know, a 200, 300, 400 page book. That can be really difficult sometimes. So I tend to look at book covers as like that eye-catching thing that will make you want to pick up the book, flip it over, and read the back cover. And so I tend to gravitate toward like really photoshopped covers that are busy and like there's a lot to look at, like, you know, not like casual vacancy covers where like it's like two colors and like one little thing in the title on the front. That really doesn't do anything for me. But some of my favorite covers come from like the Mortal Instruments series. I think those are really beautiful and they really kind of intrigue me to pick up the book and flip it over and see if I'll actually like what it's about.
It's really interesting because I'm like the exact opposite. Like, I don't like a busy cover. I like it when it's like simplistic and like really, like, you can look at it and it's beautiful, but at the same time very simple, and you can kind of get the hint of what it's saying, but you're also still very curious because it's so simple. You're like, wait, what? And then you kind of like look at the back, and then you would probably like read the first chapter, the first couple sentences. You're like, oh, okay, I can get behind this. Like, I would be hard pressed to not say that Night Circus is my favorite cover because I have it tattooed on me. So, and it's very simplistic.
Wow.
because I love it, and the characters are like a couple of my favorite characters that I've ever read, and I love the reason I got it tattooed is because the silhouettes are very simplistic, and it's just like two silhouettes, two white silhouettes on a black background. And so, because I love that time period and because I love that book, I chose to get a tattoo of it because I've always loved that time period. So, for me, the more simple it is, I think the more attractive it is, kind of. Like, there's this new book that I saw when I was at Barnes & Noble. I was actually looking for Dune because I was still trying to buy it because Barnes & Noble didn't have it. And I saw a book called Wave, and literally all it was a black cover with, like, some blue waves at the bottom, and the title, Wave, in, like, white, and it was shimmery. And I was like, ooh, that looks cool. So, I don't know.
That's a really good point, actually. And I think sometimes the really simplistic covers really pop out at me because I don't necessarily expect that, and they're really different. So I can kind of see where, like, those would be more enticing maybe than the really busy covers.
You realize, like, the Night Circus's original cover was, like, crazy busy, right,
Kyle? Oh, yeah. Yeah, with the tent.
Okay, I was like,
yeah.
Because you started to, like, explain it, and I'm like, that was not the cover.
Oh, no.
So I just, like, looked it up because I'm like, no, there was way more to that cover. I remember. Mm-hmm. Okay. I was so confused. I'm like, what do you mean, just silhouettes? I'm like, no, there wasn't.
Well, because
confused me.
I think it's the UK version of the Night Circus that initially had the silhouettes first.
Yeah, and then the UK US, cover was different.
And the US cover had the hand with the circus in it.
Right, and then that's the other thing that I always find really entertaining, is that a book here will have one cover, and it's so drastically different from covers in other countries, even like the English-speaking countries. So even like Australia and England will have different covers than we have. And it, I think even Canada might have different covers too sometimes. But it's just, it's really odd that the covers change so drastically from country to country. Because the original Twilight covers, and everyone, I mean, I'm using this example because it's one of those covers that I think everyone knows, like inside and out. It's very, it's the one thing people really noticed about Twilight when it first came out was were the hands holding the apple. And in the UK, it actually had a girl on the front of it. And she was like a, like almost a cartoony looking girl with these, this really dark hair and these like kind of pointed features and stuff. It was really odd to see that cover compared to the cover that we have and that everybody knows. So, and those aren't made anymore. You can't get the girl on the cover anymore. All the covers are made with the apple.
I'm looking at the UK version of the cover. I'm like, oh my God, that's, it's so weird.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's the part that, like, people miss is that, like, and some authors will, like, show the covers for different countries, but not everyone does. It's just, they're really unique, and it's so drastically different sometimes because they want to sell to the cultural of the people. So what appeals to people in Europe may not appeal to people in the States, so they kind of diversify it accordingly. So I always thought that was really interesting. How that plays out. But for me, it depends on the cover. Like I want to, if I'm picking up a book based on the cover, because I think the cover looks cool, I want what's on that cover to match what's in the book, because that's why I'm looking at it. Like it's what's caught my eye. But if it doesn't match, if the content is so far different from what's on the cover, I'm going to be really annoyed because it's, that's not the point.
Yeah.
Like, so I've picked it up and now I've wasted 5 minutes of my time. Do you know what I mean? That I think that has always bothered me with book covers, when you have a girl in a big poofy dress on the front and it has very little to do with what's going on in the book. The girl isn't running around in a big poofy dress because she's kind of an action hero. So why is she in a big poofy dress on the cover? Like, I don't understand it. Or why do I just have this close up of this girl's face? That doesn't tell me anything about the book. It just gives me this model's face on a cover. So yeah. I guess it's really hard sometimes when covers are not representative, and covers tend to be fairly like feminine or very girl based. If you think of a lot of covers, even if there are male heroes in the story or very strong like male characters, they tend to not be on the covers of books. Have you guys noticed that? Is that just me or is that?
No, I have noticed that. That's actually really interesting.
So I find that really interesting because there's always this talk about, you know, male readers and versus female readers, and girls will read anything. So if you put a boy on the cover, a girl's going to read it. But if you put a girl on the cover, a boy won't read it. And there's this constant kind of talk about that. And I think to some extent there is that possibility. You know, not that, to say that male readers aren't smart and that they won't pick up a book, but at the same time, it's harder for them to be around their peers, I think, with a girl in a dress on the cover of a book.
Yeah.
That's just our culture. I don't think that, you know, it's a statement on males and females in any way, but it's a cultural statement. That's just who we are as a culture.
Exactly.
Boys are meant to be, you know, more masculine and tough and whatever, and girls are around in frivy dresses. So yeah. I think that that's part of it in a lot of ways.
When I was reading Two Boys Kissing, I swear to God, I hated carrying it around because I was like carrying it around at work. So I was trying to read it as often as possible. And like, I'd like read it and I'd put it down and like, I'd make sure the cover wasn't facing anything. It was on the table. And like, I'm like, okay, no one asked me about this book. No one asked me about this book because there are two boys kissing on it. And it's not that, like, I'm not, like, proud of who I am or anything, but it's very odd, first of all. And second of all, it's not something that I want to project out to other people when they first see me. Like, if I'm a stranger and they you see a stranger reading a book with two boys kissing, you're kind of like, wait, what? Or, like, if you see, like, this biker guy reading a book that has, like, this girly princess on the cover, you're just going to be like, what? So, like, I can totally understand the fact that, like, some guys just don't want to carry around certain books with covers, because at some points it can make you uncomfortable carrying around a book that you don't like the cover of.
But, like, for me, like, I honestly don't care. Like, I read YA books, and it doesn't, like, whatever. Like, people see what I'm reading all the time, and it doesn't actually, like, it doesn't bother me, because I just don't care. Like, you can think what you want of me because of a book I'm reading. Like, I didn't judge people reading Fifty Shades of Grey as much as I wanted to, or as much as I really wanted to tell them that it's just not a good book because it's popular. Do you know what I mean? Like, that was my bigger thing. But at the same time, like, to each his own. Like, that's what reading is about. Like, you, reading opens up any world that you want it to, because you choose to read it. It doesn't have anything to do with, you know, what's on a cover of a book, depending on what's on the inside of a book. And it doesn't make you a bad person if you're reading, you know, a specific kind of book. So I don't really care, but I know a lot of people do. So covers are always, like, a tricky thing. And I think, with the onset of the e-reader, you can be reading anything you want and nobody knows what you're reading, which makes it a little bit different than when you have a book and everyone can see the cover and know what it is about. And so, I mean, that's really different, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
In the spring, Maureen Johnson did this thing with Huffington Post, and I believe it was called the cover flip, and she wanted to call an end to gendered book covers. So, you know, the girls with the poofy dresses and all of that stuff, so that it wouldn't be so specific and that anyone could pick up a book and not feel, you know what I mean? So basically she said, I wish I had a dime for every email I get that says, please put non-girly cover on your book so I can read it. Signed, a guy. So she came up with this idea for a challenge. And what she wanted was to basically stop the word perceived. So it's a really cool thing. And if you guys have time to look, we'll put the link in the show notes. But it basically goes through and it shows you what would happen if they flipped the covers of some really, if they gender flipped the covers of some books that we all know and love, like The Game of Thrones and Stardust by Neil Gaiman and The Throne of Glass, which has a girl on the cover, but is a very action-packed book like Game of Thrones. So, and then they flip the cover to look completely different. And if we put that cover on shelves, would people buy it? Or would boys buy it and not feel like it was a girly book? So we'll put that up there for you guys to look at too and check out, because I think it was a really interesting concept and idea, and really just interesting what would happen if these were changed, covers became, you know, less gender specific and more just about the book. Because I think that's always been my thing. It's, if a cover isn't about a book, it's just a cover to grab your attention. But in the end, it has nothing to do with it. It's super annoying to a reader. At least I find it's really annoying to a reader, because it confuses and it may turn off a part of your audience. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, we'll put that up. You guys can check it out and let us know what you think. And definitely let us know in the comments what you think about book covers and the flipping of book covers and genderized book covers. I'm not sure if that's a word. I just made that up.
I'm looking at the Game of Thrones version of the cover flip for the gender thing. And oh my goodness, I would never pick that up in 100 years. Ever. Like, for the girl version that they, like, they're like,
right.
Oh God, I would not pick that up ever.
Here's a question for you guys then. Do you think that an author or a publishing house, I guess it would be, has an obligation to make the covers more like gender unspecific so that it will be enticing to more types of people? Or do you think that my only thing with this is like, okay, if the book really is about a girl in a poofy dress, you know, then why not put a girl in a poofy dress on the front?
Right.
And even if you could make it not like a girl in a poofy dress and still be relevant to the book, do they have an obligation to do that? Or should they just go with kind of like their first thought?
Okay, well, here's the thing. first of all, authors have, unless you're like J.K. Rowling, you have zero say in your cover.
Zero. Yeah.
I know lots of authors, and they get really frustrated because they may not have a cover that's representative of their book or a cover that matches the vibe of the book. And if you don't, it's really hard to sell your book. And, you know, you can't and you have no say. If you're, especially if you're like a debut, you have no say in what goes on that book.
That's crazy.
None. You have very limited say even in how it's submitted. Like, your job is to write. But that's the reality of it. The publishing house's job is to sell it. The author has limited to no say in a cover. I mean, very little. And then we have, like, the people who – I mean, so there's that, first of all. So then it comes down to the publishing house. They make the cover, and they're going to make a cover that they want to sell, that they want the book to sell. So that's the cover they're going to make, whether it's relevant or not. Now, if the story is about a girl in a poofy dress, by all means, put a girl in a poofy dress on it. But you go look at all the girls in poofy dresses on covers and tell me how many actually are about girls in poofy dresses. I'm thinking maybe one, maybe, that I can think of. And so that's the problem. You have all these covers that not only are they misrepresentation of the material in the book, they're all alike. There's nothing that makes them stand out from the others. Do you know what I mean? Like, that makes it really challenging when they're all alike. And now the other issue is it's not just the publishing house and the author that may or may not get a say in the cover. There are also people in the industry as booksellers that have a really big say in the cover, from what I gather. This is what I've been told. I don't know. It has been said on more than one occasion. So, but there are other people who can say, oh, no, that's not going to work for our shelves. You're going to need to make it look different. So
that's crazy.
Those are the things you're dealing with. It's not like you're just dealing with, oh, hey, I like this cover. This is what I want it to be. And let's do it. There's a million and one people who have a say that aren't the author. And
why?
So that makes it really hard.
I don't understand that at all. Like, I mean, I only recently learned about that, like, this year. I don't get it. You would think that the author would have a say in one of the most important parts of the novel that isn't the actual novel.
No, the author's job is to write.
That's crazy. That blows my mind.
But I mean, that's just the way of it. That's the way of the publishing industry. I mean, it truly is. So, I mean, I don't know. Covers are such a tricky thing because you don't want to judge a book by its cover for that specific reason. But at the same time, in a bookstore and you have like a wall of books staring at you, you're going to attract. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's just how it works. So it's a hard thing with covers because they're so... Because they're subjective. It makes it really challenging to decide what is, you know, functional and what isn't. So I don't know what the answer is when it comes to covers.
I think I just became the stereotypical boy because I just looked throughout all of the cover flips and almost all of them, I would have read them if they didn't have a girly girl.
But that's the point. Yeah. Like, that's so, but if we made them more neutral rather than very boy specific or very girl specific would be more appealing to the masses. Do you know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's so out there that are very gender neutral. They have to be one way or the other. Anyone who picks them up, they're just a good read. You can pick them up and enjoy reading them for what they are because they're just solid stories. But because of how they're represented, how they're marketed, people, it doesn't reach the audience that it could. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's a much broader audience out there for it, but getting it into the hands of those people is really tricky because of how it's being presented as a book.
I think as long as neutral doesn't mean uninteresting, I don't have a problem with that.
Exactly. That's my big thing. Uninteresting covers are also just as much the kiss of death, you know? Or what kills me, and it drives me insane, is when you have a set of covers and then the publishing house decides, oh, no, those covers weren't working, so we're going to repackage. And they change the covers. It drives me insane. I'm like, wait. Now you're changing all the covers. Because for me, like, there was a set of books. I have a set of Holly Black books. And it was White Cat, Red Glove, and Black Heart. And it's a Holly Black series. And the original series had people on covers. Like, it was really cool. The first one had Andy, very ominous looking, because that was the character. So each book cover was representative of the character that the book was focusing on. And they were cool covers. They were very mysterious. They were a little, like, noir, kind of like. And so I have the first two books in those covers in hardback signed. And the third book came out, they changed the covers so that you couldn't have a whole set of books that matched unless you went back and bought all the new covers.
That's ridiculous.
So I bothered me for that particular reason. It was more of a personal thing. I was like, wait a minute. And the new covers were not representative at all. If any of you are familiar with the Black Cat series from Holly, it has, like, pointillism dots in bright colors on the front, the shape of, like, people or shape stuff. And it has absolutely nothing to do, and I do mean nothing to do, with the books. Because in the books, it's about this family of, like, magical mobsters kind of thing. And it's, like, it's kind of a grittier, darker book, and it's awesome. That cover makes you feel like hippie free love in the 70s. Like, I'm not even kidding. And so, look it up. It's no joke. I don't understand. Well, they're full, and on a different, you know, material, it would be completely different. This has nothing to do with what's inside that book. And it's certainly not going to get anyone to pick it up. If they do and they flip it over and read the back, they're like, wait a minute, what does that have to do with this? Because it just doesn't. So I think for me, that was a big example of when they changed the book cover. It doesn't make any sense. Like, it doesn't match the material. It just doesn't. And I think Travis had three different covers on her Across the Universe series, but by the time it was all said and done.
Yeah, to
so that
go
was also
along with that
thing, because her covers were always beautiful.
To go along with that, like, I know it's a really big pet peeve of mine. Like, I need the original covers, because I feel like, I don't know, that's more, that was just the first cover. And I remember when I was looking for the, like, the His Dark Materials covers, like, the books, to read those. Like, I wouldn't pick up the new and shiny ones. Like, I wanted the old original ones, and I finally found them. Or when they change the covers to, like, the people in the movie, and they have that on the front cover, like, I will not buy those. I think I have one book, The Perks of Being a Wallflower, with them on the cover, because I actually liked it better than the original cover. But for me, it always has to be the original cover.
Yeah, I agree. I usually enjoy the original covers. It's very rare that I like a cover that's new more than the cover, the original cover.
Yeah.
That might just be me, too. So, all right. So you guys let us know what you think about book covers in general. If you have any opinions, thoughts, definitely let us know in the comments.
That was a gigantic book bite segment.
It was huge. It was a huge
book.
But it's a big topic. There's lots to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
So, again, feel free to on the podcast itself or to contact us at Book Better. We're happy to discuss covers with you. We clearly have lots of opinions. So now we're going to move into some book news. And it's not so much book news as adaptation of book news, because there wasn't a lot of book news week. And that typically happens around this time of year, because it is typical for the publishing industry to take a little break right around Labor Day and all that good stuff. So let's talk about If I Stay, which is the Gail Forman novel that is being adapted. It's cast in the lead. We've
I'm so excited.
Got our lead male, and that will be played by Jamie Blakely.
Who is attractive as heck.
Yes, one of the qualities you must have.
Oh, yeah.
So he will be playing the rocker boyfriend in this lovely adaptation. I'm kind of really curious about this adaptation. Well, I thought the book was okay. It just wasn't my kind of book, I guess. So I'm really curious to see how they adapt it and make it work. Because it's a really interesting book, I think, to adapt. It's a little complex in you know, having her be in kind of this coma state and having all these things going on around her and stuff like that. So I'm curious to see what they do with it. So what do you guys think? Have you guys read If I Stay?
No, I really want to, though. And yeah, not because now there's a hot person involved in it, but, like, I've wanted to when Marima, I think she did either, like, a review or something, or Marima brought it up.
She did an interview with Gail.
Ah, yeah, exactly. And so that's what made me go, oh, I should probably read that. And then I haven't yet, because my life is busy.
Yeah, I literally know nothing about this book whatsoever, but I've been seeing it pop up more and more, I think because of the adaptation and, like, people getting cast and stuff, so, but I've heard, like, some people are actually pretty excited for this, so I'm definitely interested in checking it out at some point.
This particular story wasn't necessarily for me, but her writing itself is fantastic. And then we also have... Everyone's been waiting on this news. We have the casting of Christian Grey and Anastasia.
Oh, my goodness.
And I think people are a little surprised. Dakota Johnson, who is the daughter of Melanie Griffith and Don Johnson, is the lead as Anastasia. And Charlie Hunnaman is the lead as Christian Grey. Now, a little fun fact for all of you. Ages and ages and ages ago, when first looking at her dream cast for Twilight, she actually wanted Charlie Hunnaman to play Carlisle, and now he's playing Christian Grey.
They both seem like, not that either of them are old by any means, but both of them just look a lot older than I had interpreted them to be. Like, initially.
Really, I don't think they're old at all.
Well,
at all.
I don't know why, but I was thinking of, because Anastasia, I thought, was going to be, like, she's supposed to be, like, this college girl, and so, like, when I look, at least maybe it's the picture that we're using of Dakota Johnson on our website, but, like, when I see her, I don't see a college girl, and then when I look at Charlie for Christian, I don't see Christian as, like a young, hip entrepreneur person. So maybe that's just me.
Well, I think part of the reason Charlie doesn't look that way right now is he's the lead in Sons of Anarchy, so he needs to look like a badass biker. That's why he has the facial hair and everything else. So he's really difficult because of his current look for what he's currently doing. You're not going to find a lot of pictures of him with, you know, not long hair and a scruffy beard, because currently for the last 4 years, that's what he's been doing. So that's what he looks like.
Yeah. I do see a couple of photos. I did just do a Google search, and when he's clean shaven, he is gorgeous. So can't wait.
Can I just say, I'm really, really, really happy that they didn't go with Alexandra Daddario for Anastasia, because there's been tons of talk about her being Anastasia, and she was Annabeth in Percy Jackson, and I would not be able to look at her the same way had been cast in this role.
That would be so bad.
It would. I'm so glad it didn't
happen.
That's
almost the equivalent of casting, like, Emma, oh my goodness, I forgot her name.
Watson?
Yes. Okay, let's forget that I did that, but it's almost like seeing Emma Watson as Anastasia. Like, it just
yeah,
would make anything that she's involved in now just look dirty.
It'd be so wrong.
Still don't know how they're going to make it, but more power to them for trying. And moving on, another book, a YA book this time that really optioned, is Raven Boys by Maggie. I mentioned the sequel earlier that I had just read, and it was optioned by Warner Brothers and Weed Road Productions. I love this book with a passion, and I think it would really cool to see it on the screen. It's a really interesting, it's got a lot of different ideas in it that most books don't have. While there's some paranormal stuff, there's also this really cool stuff about magnetic fields and this ancient Welsh king, and so it's just really cool and different. So I can see why it was optioned, because it is different from a lot of things that are out there right now. So I hope they do move forward on it. It is something that is really true to the book, because the book is super cool. And then last bit of news we have for you guys. Libba Bray, who wrote The Diviners, which came out about a year ago, has just released the cover and the synopsis for the sequel in the novel, The Diviners, which is Lair of Dreams. And it's a rather interesting synopsis. It talks a little bit about, and I don't want to ruin it for anyone who's not read The Diviners, but it continues the story of the main character in New York City, and she's now a little bit more well-known than she originally was, and there are mysterious sleeping deaths occurring throughout the city that the Diviners now have to handle and see if they can figure out what's going on. It's kind of the short, very interesting because it's going for, The Diviners is set in the 20s. So it's kind of going for an old school feel, and it's a really interesting kind of cover. And so lastly, what we're going to talk about right now are some book deals that have just been made. And so these books won't be coming out until late 2014 and 2015, which seems like so sorry, but really it's not. So the first book deal is from David Levithan. He is going to write, or has written, a companion novel to Every Day. And if you guys remember, Every Day was about a novel about a boy who woke up in a different body every day. Does everyone remember that one? Did you read it? Did you like it?
I did not read that. I'm not a particular fan of David Levithan in general. So.
Okay. Anyway, the companion novel is going to be called Rhiannon. And it's told from the point of view of Rhiannon, who is A's love interest, the original character we met. And that one will come out in 2015. Then there is a futuristic thriller called The Fearless by Emma Pass. And it's the story of a 17-year-old Cass and her fight to protect her younger brother from a terrifying unknown enemy known as the Fearless, which is kind of creepy sounding, not going to lie.
It kind of reminds me of The Silence from Doctor Who.
Hey, if you can write something like The Silence, I'm all for it.
Oh, heck yeah.
And then the next one is a contemporary novel. And so it's called You Make Me Lovely, and it's by Jennifer Nevin. And it's her YA debut. And it's when Finch and Violet meet on the ledge of a bell tower at school, both teetering on the edge. It's the beginning of an unlikely relationship and two teens' desperate desire to heal and save one another. So it sounds a little more heavy, possibly got some themes of suicide and stuff in it. But again, kind of if it's told well, books usually are really good if they're told well. So it'll be interesting to see how that one turns out. This is the one, this next one that I'm really excited about, I'm not going to lie. This book actually, when I was reading about it, it had five different houses that wanted it. It's kind of a deal.
Oh, wow.
And the book is called Hook's Revenge, and it's from debut author Heidi Scholz. And in the novel, Captain Hook's daughter, Dustlin, is charged with avenging her father's death in the jaws of Neverland's crocodile. The tale continues. The tale is narrated in the vein of Lemony Snicket, if Lemony Snicket were an irritable retired pet who disliked children. So it's basically about Hook's daughter and her getting revenge for her father's death at the hands of the crocodile.
Ooh, that's
which leads me to believe that she's going to go after Peter Pan and the Lost Boys. And then the last one is a book picked up by Simon & Schuster, and it's called Apocalypse Already, and it's a debut YA novel by singer-songwriter Tommy Wallach. And in the book, the lives of four teens intersect and overlap several weeks before a meteor is set to pass through Earth's orbit, with a 66.6% chance of striking and destroying all life on the planet. And that publication is set for 2015. So it's kind of the apocalyptic theme still going on, but in a different way. It sounds more like it's going to look at the people and what would happen if you thought a meteor was going to crash and kill you. So that always is an interesting look at humans and how they respond to crisis. So it'll be interesting to see that one, I think, because I don't think it's just about the apocalypse. And so those are the books that we saw for book deals coming out recently, and some interesting, a lot of YA debuts, which is always great. We love debut authors. So it'll be fun to see what those bring and how those progress over time, because they are quite a ways away from being published. And lastly, before we wrap up here at Book Hype, we're going to talk a little bit about the feedback we got on Twitter this week. So one of the tweets we received was from Melody, and it's, says, what do you guys prefer, paperback or hardcover? So, Garen, why don't you go ahead and start and tell us what you prefer, paperback or hardcover?
I think I prefer hardcover just because it's a little bit easier to handle. It stays open a little bit better. It's a little more durable. But my big thing is that you cannot read a hardcover book with the dust jacket on. That has to go back on the shelf where it's nice and safe. If you let anybody borrow your books, you do not give them the dust jacket because you want that to be in good condition forever. So definitely hardcover, but you have to be careful with the dust jacket.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm the same way. I'm a hardcover man because I don't like the way, paperback tends to like bend and the covers kind of get really disorderly after a while. And so just having a hardcover book just means personally to me that it'll last longer, especially with the way that I carry books and like just, I put them in my bag and I just kind of like do whatever. And so, it's easier for me to carry a hardback than a hardcover than a paperback.
It depends on what I'm doing. If I'm at home reading, then I love hardback books. But if I'm traveling, then I prefer paperback because they're more flexible in my bags and stuff. And I tend to travel with multiple books. And so I tend to prefer paperback for that rather than hardcover.
Yeah, I remember one time I was trying to carry like four different kind of hardback cover books or hardcover. Why did I say hardback? That's not a word. Hardcover books. And it was immensely difficult fitting that into one backpack. So I totally know what you mean.
Yeah, so that's why I tend to want to travel with paperback. It's way easier. And then our second comment or feedback from Twitter from Danielle Jean, and it says, I like the grading scale of own the actual book, get it digital, library, or given to me free. That says a lot about a book. Thank you, Danielle. We tried to come up with a system when we were talking about books that would appeal to everybody and that people could actually understand. Because sometimes saying 4 stars, again, what does that mean? Like, it's not, to me, saying it's something is worth 4 stars or 5 stars or 2 stars doesn't really tell me a lot about a book. It just tells me that that person has that opinion. And again, while our system is still opinion-based, I think it gives a little more detail. So thank you very much for that. And that about wraps up Book Hype today. So thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next news and topics. If you have anything you guys would like us to discuss, please feel free to send in any kinds of comments or suggestions or anything like that. We're always happy to hear them. I did get a couple of emails suggesting the Outlander series. So we are looking into that because I know some of you are very, very fervent about that. It's being made into a TV show on Stars, so we'll definitely be looking into that. And I got a couple other emails about different topics that we will try to approach in the next couple of episodes. So thank you guys for all your feedback and comments, and we hope to hear from you again. So thanks for listening. I'm Jen.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Karen. Bye.